This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is, A Complaining Spirit Will Keep You in Your Desert.
We've been talking about the deserts of life and the fact that all of us, no matter how good a Christian we are, no matter how spiritual, no matter how mature we may be, all of us at some point in our lives are going to have to go through some desert places. You know what the desert is. The desert is that place where whatever is going on in your life at that time has you feeling frustrated and hopeless and lonely and down and discouraged, even sometimes depressed. And the worst part of it is when you're in the desert, you have a hard time seeing God. And I'm here to tell you that however much you love Jesus, there still will be times when you will find yourself in the desert. But let me tell you something that can keep you in the desert for a long time. How many of us here, when we are in some kind of desert, when we have something going on in our lives, when the pressure is on and we are under some kind of stress and strain, and we start to feeling frustrated, start to feeling like things are piling up on us, start to feeling like people are not treating us the way they're supposed to treat us. How many of us, when we get into that kind of situation, have a tendency to moan, groan, and complain about our circumstance? Let me just see how many of us are honest this morning. Come on, I heard some of you now. Amen. Amen. Isn't that the most natural thing in the world? When things are not going the way you want them to go, to be moaning and groaning and complaining about it? That's something that probably all of us do to some extent when we find ourselves in the desert. But let me tell you something. The one thing that will cause you to have to stay in your desert longer than you need to be there is when you let a complaining spirit take hold in your life. When you have the spirit of moaning and groaning and complaining going on in your life, you are actually sabotaging yourself, keeping yourself in the desert instead of moving through that desert to that good land on the other side that God wants to take you to. That's what happened to God's people, the nation Israel, in the Old Testament. Go over to Numbers chapter 14, the passage we had so much trouble finding today. But it was my fault. It wasn't George's fault. I want you to know that. Amen. George did the best he could. Praise God. God had brought these people out of Egypt, brought them into the wilderness up to the doorstep of the promised land, and said to them, look, I have given you this good land, this land that flows with milk and honey. And all you have to do is to obey me and trust me and go in and take the land. Look at the response that these people made. After they sent out 12 spies and 10 of the spies came back and said, oh, the land is good, but there are giants over there and I don't think we can handle it. Look at how the people responded. Numbers 14, verses 1 and 2. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. God had brought them out of slavery, brought them through the desert, has them right there on the doorstep of the promised land, and all they could do is moan and groan and complain. They were ready to open the door and go in. But because instead of obeying God and trusting God, they fell into moaning and groaning and complaining about their situation, they had to stay in that desert 40 more years. Some of us, because of our complaining attitude, have had to stay in our deserts far longer than God wanted us to be there. Let me tell you something. If you are having a miserable time in your desert right now, you know the best way to make it more miserable? Keep on moaning, groaning, and complaining about what's going on in your life. In fact, look at this. Let me tell you what that spirit of moaning, groaning, and complaining will do to you. That complaining spirit will cause you to so misperceive reality that you can't get out of your desert. It will cause you to misperceive reality. First of all, it'll cause you to misperceive reality about God. Look at verse 3 of Numbers 14. Look at how these people's thought process started to get off. Numbers 14:3. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Now, here they are, just being brought out of slavery by God. God says, I've given you a wonderful land, go take it. And what is the idea that's in their mind? God brought us out here to kill us. Why don't we just go back to Egypt? Now, does that make sense? No, what had happened? You see, because they had that spirit of complaint operating within them, it twisted and warped their perception of reality. These people actually began to think that God was their problem. God, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? What God are they talking about? The God that sent them somebody to deliver them out of Egypt? Oh, that same God that brought down plagues upon all of Egypt in order that Pharaoh would let them go? Oh, yeah, and he's the same God that when they came up against the Red Sea, parted the waters for them so that they could cross the sea. And then when the Egyptian army came up behind, this is the God that caused the waters to fall back over the Egyptians and to drown the whole army so that they would be safe from their enemies. Oh, yeah, this is the God that now, because of the spirit of moaning, groaning, and complaining, they look at their circumstance right now and say, oh yeah, God, you were okay then, but right now you're trying to kill us. Their perception of reality was warped by that spirit of moaning, groaning, and complaining. They accused God of wanting to kill their children. How twisted can your thoughts become? But understand this. When you are going through a desert in your life, the first thing that the devil wants to whisper in your ear is, God is your problem. He wants you to believe that God is your problem. If you're having to deal with some illness, some sickness in your body, the devil wants you to believe it's because God is punishing you. Or maybe it is that you have some kind of a financial challenge. Well, if it doesn't seem to be moving as quick as you want, it's because God doesn't care about you. That's what the devil's going to whisper in your ear. Or maybe you're not getting blessed the way your neighbor's getting blessed. Well, that's because God loves them more than he loves you. You see, all of those thoughts the devil will put in your mind to try to make you believe that God is your enemy. Any of you ever been there? Because why? If he can get you thinking God is your problem, you don't go to the one who's your problem to try to get help to get through your problem. Amen? Amen. And so if he can ever get you to thinking that God's the problem, who are you going to pray to? If God's your problem, who are you going to call on to heal you? If God is your problem, who are you going to call on to provide for your needs? Who are you going to call on to work through that situation that's causing you to be in the desert in the first place? See, that's Satan's purpose. Number one, if I can just get them to think that God is the problem. Understand this. Instead of confessing how bad the situation is, we need to start confessing how good God is. Amen? Amen. Start confessing how good God is. We say that God is good all the time. Amen? Amen. You ever say that? Amen. God is good all the time. Well, we need to confess that, but we need to add to it. Not only is God good all the time, God is good to me all the time. Even when I'm in the middle of my desert, God is good to me all the time. Even when the sun is shining down and it's hot out there in the desert, God is good to me all the time. Even when I can't seem to find anything cool to drink, God is good and he's good to me. In fact, say that with me. God is good, all the time. And he's good to me, all the time. Oh, isn't that good? Oh, yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Understand. Even when you are in the middle of the desert, you can count on the goodness of God. Amen. Even when you can't see what God is doing, don't understand how he's working. Have no clue when he's going to get you out of this hot spot you're in. You can still count on the goodness of God. Here's the second thing that we need to confess about God. God is in control of your situation, even in the desert. And he will work it out for your good. Here's the third thing that we need to confess about God. Number one, we're confessing that he's good all the time, and he's good to me all the time. Amen? And number two, we're confessing that he's in control of my situation to work it out for good and not for evil. Here's the third thing. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The third thing is this. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And if I will diligently seek him in the middle of my desert, he will reward me. If I will get my eyes off of what's going on in my desert situation, get my eyes off how hot it is, how thirsty I am, how I don't know where I'm going and where the end point of this desert will be. Get my eyes off of all of that and simply begin to seek the face of God. He makes the promise, Matthew 6:33, that if I will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything I need, he will add to me. Everything I need, he will supply. So even if I'm in the middle of the desert, if I will diligently set myself to seek God, set myself not to get caught up in moaning, groaning, and complaining about the circumstances and what's going on, but instead begin to praise and honor God. Give thanks to his name for what he's done for me. Lift up the name of Jesus, my Savior, my Lord, my provider, Jehovah Jireh, hallelujah, my healer. Praise God, my King and my Lord. When I begin to lift up his name in the middle of the desert, God says, I'm a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. Understand this. If you are in the middle of a desert, don't seek to try to get out of your desert. You just seek the face of God and he will take you out of the desert into the good land that he's prepared for you to have. The second way that spirit of moaning and groaning and complaining causes us to misperceive reality. It will cause us to misperceive reality about other people. If the devil cannot get you to think that God is your problem, then he wants you to think that somebody else is your problem. The devil will cause you to misperceive reality. Go over to Exodus chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. Look at what they said about Moses. And the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it that you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me." Catch this. The devil, when you're in the middle of your desert, the devil will always give you somebody to blame. He will always give you somebody to blame. That spirit of moaning, groaning, and complaining. You know what it does to us? It makes us feel like a victim. It makes us feel like we've been victimized by the situation we're in. And catch this. If you are a victim, there must be a victimizer. Isn't that right? If I'm a victim, somebody's got to be victimizing me. And if it's not God, guess what? It's probably you. Now, let me tell you something. Married folk, when you're in a desert, the devil will come to you and say, "Somebody is your problem." And if you're smart enough to know that God's not the problem, then you look around and you say, "Well, there's only me and my mate." Now, if God's not the problem, and I know I'm not the problem, it must be them. Have you been there? Have you been there? You're in the middle of a situation and your mind automatically starts looking for somebody to blame. And if the only one around is the one you're married to, guess what? They get the honor. In fact, go over to Psalm chapter 18, verse 22. Let's just sit on this for a moment. Psalm chapter 18, verse 22. That's Proverbs. Did I say Psalms? I'm sorry. Okay. Let's do it again. Go over to Proverbs 18, 22. Now see, if George hadn't messed up, he's the one that started it. Proverbs 18, 22. "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." Isn't that great? He who finds a wife finds a good thing. She is God's favor to you. Brothers, are you with me on this? A lot of the time, you don't want to hear what your wife is telling you, do you? But catch it. You need to hear what she's saying to you. Doesn't mean she's always right, but it does mean you need to hear, because God needs to tell you something through that. God is in control. And because God is in control, there is nothing that you can do to keep me in the desert 1 second longer than God wants me to be there. Whatever is going on, you are not my problem. Think about this for a moment. The children of Israel, go back to verse 4 of Numbers 14. Look at what they said. "So they said to one another, 'Let us select a leader and return to Egypt.'" Look at what they're actually saying. What they're saying is, "Moses is our enemy, and the Egyptians who kept us in slavery are the ones who are our friends." You see how this spirit of moaning, groaning, and complaining twists your perceptions? You misperceive who your friends and who your enemies are. You're trying to quit smoking, and you're really working at it. But just in case the urge gets on you and you can't handle it, you got a pack stashed away someplace. And the urge comes, and you go looking for your pack. And you walk in where you had it stashed, and your husband or your wife is there, and they say, "Oh, I found that and threw it away." And then you go to work. And you're telling one of your coworkers about it. You're complaining about what your husband or your wife did to you. "Took my pack of cigarettes and threw them away. I suffered all night." And your coworker reaches into their pocket and says, "Well, look, why don't you have one of mine?" And they hand you a cigarette. Take out a lighter and light it for you. Now think about it for a moment. You're complaining about what your mate did. You're saying thank you to the one that handed you a cigarette, but who was your friend? Who was your real friend in that situation? Was it the one that disappointed what you wanted and caused you to be complaining about what they did? Or was it the one that you said, oh, thank you, I've been waiting for that all day, so you could take another puff and go right back into your addiction? You see, when you get into that spirit of moaning, groaning, and complaining, the devil, who is a liar, gets in and begins to twist your mind so you don't even see who your friends or your enemies are anymore. That spirit of complaining will distort your perception so that you no longer even understand who it is that cares about you and loves you, and it'll begin to destroy your relationships. Here's the third thing that spirit of complaining will do. Go back to Numbers 14. Look at verse 6. That complaining spirit will cause you to misperceive reality about your situation. It will cause you to misperceive reality about your situation. Numbers chapter 14, verses 6 through 9. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Look at what was happening. The children of Israel had come up to the doorstep of the promised land. God said, the land is yours. You can go and take it. But because of that spirit of complaint, of moaning, groaning, and complaining, they saw this situation of opportunity as a negative situation they couldn't handle. God was opening the door wide for them to have everything they had ever dreamed of, but because they were controlled by the spirit of moaning, groaning, and complaining, they couldn't go through the door. They missed their time of opportunity. Our church was in its own desert. We were in a hotel, meeting in a hotel. And we did not know that they were going to be going into remodeling at the end of the summer. And we would not have a place to meet. We couldn't meet there. And so we had to go back and forth from hotel to hotel. And people literally could not find us. That's bad for a church. Amen? That was a desert time for us. But you know what God did for me? From the moment that started to happen, God gave me an assurance. I'm at work in this situation. And you know, instead of getting frustrated and upset about what was going on, you know what? I started getting excited. Because, you know, I said, God is going to give us a building out of this situation. He is letting us go through this desert time because his purpose and his plan is to get us out of this hotel into our own place. And praise God, look around. Hallelujah. If we had not had to go through that desert time, we would still be meeting in a hotel right now. If everything had gone the way that we wanted it to go, we would still be meeting in that hotel waiting for the right time when we have enough money that we can go out and find ourselves a place. God used that desert time to open a door of opportunity, a door of blessing. But if we had gone into that desert time in a spirit of mumbling, grumbling, and complaining, if I had spent all my time doing that instead of looking for a place, hallelujah, we'd still be there. You see, the desert can be your time of opportunity if you don't let that spirit of moaning, groaning, and complaining take over. I took a 2-year leave of absence from IBM to go to seminary. And the way it works is when you take a leave of absence, you come back and they give you, you know, your job is guaranteed. So I came back, told them what day I was going to be there, And so I confidently walked back in expecting to get my old job back, and they kind of looked at me and said, oh, who are you? Oh, okay, yeah. And they put me in some rinky-dink job, that's the way it seemed to me, that I hated because they had not prepared for me. And I stayed there, I don't know how long it was, it must have been about 6 or 9 months, and I was miserable in that place. I hated going to work. And then I saw an ad in the paper for a company in some place called Lancaster, Pennsylvania. That's the way we said it out in Colorado. And I went and I interviewed for that job. They hired me. Now understand this. I went on that job at a greatly increased rate of pay, with a greatly higher level of responsibility. It was a big step up for me. But if I had not been in the desert at IBM, I never would have left IBM. I loved IBM. I thought it was the greatest company on earth until I got in my desert. Do you see what goes on? Even while I was there, sitting at my desk at IBM being miserable, I started to understand something. I believe God is getting ready to leave, for me to leave this place. I believe He's preparing me. He's allowing me to go through this desert time so He can prepare me to untie the strings that are binding me to this company and be willing to go someplace else. In other words, He had an opportunity for me. Think of what I would have missed. Not just the money, not just the new title and the office with a door on it, not just all of that. If I hadn't gone to work for that company and come to Pennsylvania, I never would have met Priscilla, praise God. Amen. See, in the middle of my desert, God had opened a door of opportunity. But if I had spent all of my time moaning and groaning and complaining about how these people are treating me, they knew they were supposed to come back and they didn't have anything ready for me. They're wrong. I think I'm going to go to the EEOC and get on them or whatever. If I had spent my time in all of that stuff, my opportunity would have passed me by, and I'd probably still be sitting at that same desk, moaning, groaning, and complaining about what they're doing to me. God will often send you into the desert in order to prepare you to move to a higher level. And if you will go into the desert with praise and with faith and with thanksgiving, looking unto Him who is your preserver and your keeper and who has a good plan for your life, He will bring you through to the other side. And you will find out that all along, the desert was part of God's plan to bless you.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcomchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.